Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
I'm Tom Puckett, pinch hitting for Joe Beamer this morning on Hardline at 11:36. We welcome Washington insider Dave Leventhal to the WBEN Trocare College Live Line as we take a look back at the results of the 2024 presidential election. Dave, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Pardon me, Tom.
Dave, the secret ground game with younger people, how did Trump do this and how did he pull this off?
Trump appealed to younger voters in a way that was shocking to a lot of people, but shouldn't necessarily be so. A lot of younger voters, let's put it this way, if you were 15, 16 years old when Donald Trump first came down the golden escalator in 2015 and announced he was running for president the first time, you're pretty checked out about what was going on. You might have not been paying attention. You weren't engaged in politics, but now you're 23 or 24 or 25, and you've got your first job, and the economy isn't really what you were hoping it to be. The American dream may be seeming out of reach for you, and as a result, you're not so concerned about what Donald Trump was doing in 2017, or you weren't paying attention to his impeachment trials or anything of that sort, but you are very acutely aware of your own reality. And for a lot of young Americans, that was very appealing. And a lot of where Americans who are in their 20s or even 30s are getting their information is not from the traditional sources where campaigns are oftentimes putting their money and their effort, but Donald Trump definitely was. And a lot of Donald Trump's surrogates and supporters are definitely living. And you can think of a podcast like Joe Rogan. You can think of a lot of other areas where Donald Trump was active in the Kamala Harris campaign wasn't, whether that's, Twitch or some video platforms that if we were having this conversation 10 years ago, we would not be talking about because they didn't exist or exist in the form that they do right now.
And you mentioned these younger voters. They probably weren't, as you said, paying attention to what was happening. The impeachments, the convictions against Donald Trump. I talked with Sean Donahue, and there seemed to have been this Trump amnesia about all that come election day. How much did people just put that aside when they voted, and why?
Well, a couple of things. It's pretty clear that the Harris campaign and Democrats in general overestimated the effect that attacking Donald Trump would have. It just did not work out the way that they had, of course, wanted it to and also expected. And they seemed to underestimate how much a large swath of the electorate just didn't trust Democrats on economic issues, broadly speaking. And look, tens of millions of voters, they were willing to overlook the fact, and I underscore fact, that Donald Trump is an adulterer. He is a proven liar. He has cheated in business. He has admired autocrats. He has twice been impeached. He has been charged with 91 felonies. He's been convicted of 34. He's got a sentencing in 3 weeks. I could go on, but many Americans just simply did not care about those things nearly as much as they cared about the direction that they wanted to go, that they wanted the country to go in, and they felt like Democrats would not be able to provide that. And they looked at their own reality. They looked at their own situation. They looked at the price of eggs and bread. They looked at how much it costs to fill up your gas tank, how much housing in their particular community is costing, or the opportunity to buy a new house. Inflation still loomed large, and not just when the numbers were really high. They're, of course, much lower right now, but the cumulative effect of that and the prices that people are paying today in 2024 compared to what they were paying in 2020 or 2021, which is significantly higher and probably outpacing their savings or outpacing interest rates or whatever the case may be. So when you add this all up, I mean, elections are complex. There's usually no one factor or silver bullet that is ultimately going to decide the election, but there was definitely a number of factors that conspired in, and I say that in the most neutral senses, but conspired in Donald Trump's favor and did not conspire in Kamala Harris's favor.
One thing that we heard at the start of the election night coverage, especially when the returns are first coming in, the swing states were too close to call. However, we saw as the hours progressed that Donald Trump was winning those swing states and winning them rather handily, especially, Pennsylvania, he won by 2%. Wisconsin won by about 1%. Michigan by about 1.4%. Nevada, 3%. Does exit polling have to change as a result of this election?
Well, exit polling, you know, those are the polls taken after people or as people are voting, usually are focused on issues and whatnot. I think the polling that was leading up to Election Day were, you've got a tale of two polls here in a very large sense. Now, on one hand, the national polls that were being taken, and this is not just acute to swing states, really just a sort of a reflection of the national popular vote. And as we all know, elections are not decided on the national popular vote. The Electoral College ultimately will decide that. But the national polls, they underestimated Trump considerably. They did not reflect that Donald Trump was going to win the national popular vote. They had Kamala Harris up on Donald Trump there, and Donald Trump, when all is said and done, will have not only won the national popular vote, which he did not in 2020, but he'll win it by several million votes, if not even more. And that is notable, that is dramatic, and that was unforeseen by the polls. So the polls got that wrong. Now, when you look at the swing states, and we're talking about, you mentioned a couple, Arizona, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, and then Georgia and North Carolina, the polls actually were pretty darned accurate there. And what I mean by that is that most of the polls in all of those states had this race as a true toss-up. So what that means in plain terms is that it was equally plausible, according to those polls, that Kamala Harris would win the election in that state and that Donald Trump would win the election. And there were definite scenarios where you could see Donald Trump running the table. So in a way, the polls got it right because that was part of what they were saying, and they predicted that. They anticipated it. What would have been colossally wrong by that standard at the state level and the swing state level is if all the polls really had Kamala Harris outside the margin of error, they had her winning, that it was highly unlikely that Donald Trump would win any or all of those states. But that's not what those polls were saying. So, you know, polling is always it's always fraught, and people will oftentimes read into polls more than the polls can provide. They are snapshots in time, and they change too, and they can break in one way or another very, very late in election day. But I do think that, especially going back to the national polls, you know, Donald Trump. Why were the national polls so wrong? There are definitely new polling methods in place, I think, is one way to explain it, that are not necessarily reaching Trump voters. This is not the age of where all polls are being taken on landline telephones, for example, which would have been the case a couple of decades ago. There are online polls. There are multiple touch point polls. I don't want to get into the technical weeds any more than we have to, but polling is not as straightforward as it used to be, and some polls are definitely struggling with reaching people of certain demographics, including the people who came out to vote for Donald Trump. And as a result, the Trump supporters who voted for Donald Trump and put him over the top may have been undersampled over the course of the many months leading up to Election Day.
And some people have said that when they are polled, whether it's a telephone poll, an internet poll, and they're leaning toward Trump, they don't necessarily want to say that because they're fearing of losing out, losing friends, losing jobs. How confidential are these polls?
Most of them are pretty confidential, but not all of them are completely confidential. And it may not be clear to the person answering that poll how confidential it is. So is there a chance and is there a reality that some people are not being completely honest, that they're saying that they're not going to vote for Donald Trump or that they're going to vote for another candidate, maybe a third party candidate, or that they're going to that they're still undecided or that they're not going to vote? Well, yeah, all of those are possible. And if even 1 or 2 or 3 percentage points worth of respondents to a poll are doing that, then you're going to have some trouble with that poll. And that poll may not, again, reflect accurately what the reality is on the ground. So, you know, that's a phenomenon that we saw in 2020 and 2016 to some degree. We don't know yet whether it got better or worse or stayed the same this time around in 2024. But that is definitely one reason why you could have polling anomalies or poll results that don't align with what we see the day after Election Day when we do have most of the results in.
Dave Leventhal, Washington Insider, my guest on Hardline this final half hour. I've noticed looking at the vote counts from 2020 and 2024, there were 10 million fewer voters at the polls this year. How much could that have affected the outcome of the race? Because Joe Biden had 81 million in 2020 to 74.2 for Trump. Trump won with 74.6 million votes, and Kamala Harris only hit nearly 71 million.
Yeah, it absolutely had an effect, Tom, and it had an effect to 100% Donald Trump's benefit. And so if you look at those numbers and parse those numbers, and mind you, we are still counting the kind of last straggler votes here, the states of Nevada and Arizona just getting called over the weekend. So those were two races that were really close. They went multiple days past Election Day before we finally had a clear winner in those states for the presidential race. But Kamala Harris bled millions of votes from where Joe Biden was in 2020. And had she had all of those votes, and meanwhile, the population of the country has actually increased. So theoretically, the voter base should be a little bit bigger than it was in 2020, and yet she lost votes. That really tells the story in a profound way about how people were not willing to hitch their wagon to Kamala Harris and to other Democrats in the country. The Senate, need I not remind you, is going to go the way of Republicans, and Democrats are going to lose control. Chuck Schumer will no longer be the majority leader. He will be minority leader or nothing at all in a leadership position. We'll see how that all works out. So when you look at that, that is major. Donald Trump will have added to his popular vote total from 2020. It's not going to be a massive amount, but it's definitely going to be an amount. So Harris's arrow went the wrong way for her, and Trump's arrow went the right way for him. And it's pretty simple math from there. And that is why Donald Trump won the election, even if Donald Trump was not, in the end, able to match the total votes that Joe Biden was able to get in 2020. Well, he didn't need to, because Kamala Harris helped him out by shedding millions of votes that she theoretically should have had, but ultimately did not.
One thing that has been heard in the news, prominent celebrities saying they'll move out of America if Donald Trump is reelected again. Now that that has happened, there seems to be an American interest in migrating north to Canada. Interest in Canadian citizenship is spiking again. How challenging is it for American citizens to move up to Canada and gain citizenship there?
Well, I explored this exact topic in an article that was published in Politico on Friday, and I spoke with Canadian immigration officials, and they said that yes, indeed, and confirmed that in the hours after Donald Trump had claimed victory, and then soon after the AP and other organizations called the election for him, that there was quite significant interest by Americans making inquiries by phone and email, web searches for Canadian immigration options in Canada's official Canadian immigration portal and agency. So here are the facts. More than a million Americans live in Canada. Canada has a much more permissible immigration system than the United States does. There are numerous pathways to becoming a temporary or permanent resident in Canada, even getting on a pathway to citizenship, and for people looking to move to Canada, especially certain portions of Canada, the maritime provinces, the Atlantic coast of Canada, there's actually sort of a menu of options, an almost like choose your own immigration adventure that you can go on the immigration website for Canada and see if you're eligible and see how long it's going to take and how much money it actually will cost in order to file the paperwork and information in order to get going on that path. So, look, I don't anticipate, and nobody does, that there are going to be millions of Americans suddenly trying to cross the border and go to Canada, or that a third of Buffalo is suddenly going to go across another river never to come back. But this all being said, there is definitely interest at a level that was not seen prior to the election. And I looked at some search statistics from Google in particular, and in the hours after the election results had come out, the almost non-existent search terms for immigrating to Canada or getting citizenship in New Zealand or moving to Australia or Ireland, all of that just suddenly skyrocketed and was almost off the charts relative to where it was before. So unlikely that there's going to be mass migration from emigration from the United States to somewhere else, but nevertheless, some people are having, at minimum, some flights of fancy away from the United States to somewhere else.
Dave, my last question, and I pose this to Sean Donahue from UB. The Trump mystique versus the fear of a woman president, what won out more in Tuesday's election? Because we saw this in 2016 as well.
Yeah, well, the results speak for themselves, and more people were willing to go the way of Donald Trump than Kamala Harris. The question of is the United States ready for a woman president? That's come up a great deal. I think an argument could be made that the United States is ready for a woman president and was in 2016 when Hillary Clinton won the popular vote and had millions more votes than Donald Trump, although, of course, he won the Electoral College and won the election. What was clear this time around in 2024 is that the United States, the majority of people voting in the United States, were not willing to be ready for Kamala Harris, and that they were not willing to be ready for a Democrat. Almost certainly the same result would have happened if Joe Biden was a candidate. It likely would have been worse than it was with Harris, given the state of affairs with Joe Biden and what we know about him and his disastrous debate performance and massive questions as to whether he is able to fully carry out the functions of his office today, say nothing of 4 years from now when he would be 86 years old going into his final weeks of a second term. So, you know, in a way, looking at the results now, and of course, hindsight is always 2020, but you wonder if any Democrat could have beat Donald Trump under the same circumstances where they were 107 days away from Election Day, thrust into the presidential election, had 107 days to campaign, as Kamala Harris did, and would have been able to win, especially with the fundamentals on economics. We haven't even mentioned immigration in the context of what to do on the southern border. These were issues that were looming very, very large with Republicans and with voters who voted Republican and voted for Donald Trump. Now, women in the United States, should be noted, if it was only women who voted in this election and no man cast a ballot, Kamala Harris would have won the election. So I think it's important to remember that she did, her message and her candidacy did resonate with a very, very, very critical portion of the electorate, but not enough where she was able to win the vote for the whole country. And that ultimately is what it really came down to.
All right. Dave Leventhal, thank you very much for joining us this morning on Hardline.
My pleasure. Thank you, Tom.
That's Dave Leventhal, Washington Insider, on the WBEN Trocare College Live Line. And that will do it for this edition of Hardline. I'm Tom Puckett. Thanks for joining me this morning. Joe Beamer will be back next Sunday. I will be back tomorrow night at 6 with the WBEN Evening News. Susan Rose, Brian Mazurowski here tomorrow morning at 5 with a new morning. Make it a great Sunday. Go Bills. Go Sabres. It's 11:55 on WBEN.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.